Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Michael Tellinger. Michael, I've got to ask you about the Anunnaki. The late Zechariah Sitchin, of course, believed that they came down here, seeded us so they could work us for gold extraction in Samaria, modern-day Iraq. But what about South Africa? What about the possibilities that the Anunnaki ended up there, too, and might be part of this vanished civilization?
That's a very, very important question and one that comes up quite often, and you're spot on there, George. We have overwhelming evidence, unquestionable overwhelming evidence that the Anunnaki were not just here, but they were here present in large numbers doing unimaginable amounts of gold mining. And that even yesterday, literally as recent as yesterday, I've got new information, new research that absolutely shows the fingerprints of the Anunnaki all over southern Africa, ancient gold mines, the Stone Circle ruins, that they were possibly and most likely the architects of the Stone Circles as a giant energy-generating grid for all kinds of things. The big question still remains that we should come back to is, what were the Stone Circles for? What did they need so much energy
for?
But to come back to the gold mining, you know, we have so many ancient gold mines in southern Africa and South Africa and Zimbabwe especially. It's unbelievable. And the stories, and I'm finding more and more stories in folklore and oral tradition handed down about tunnels and ancient mines underground and the gods and the Anunnaki down here. It's all over ancient history in South Africa in the stories of the people. And one of the biggest surprises to me was obviously Adam Scalander. We haven't discussed that yet. You haven't brought that up yet. But Adam Scalander is one of the big reasons that I got together with Jan Heiner right in the beginning in 2007. Sorry, are you there, George? I thought
yeah.
I lost you.
No, we're still here.
Okay. Adam Scalander is why Johan and I got together. And Adam Scalander has turned out to be possibly one of the most important places on Earth. It is what I call the oldest working sun calendar on Earth. And a very, very important place. It is a machine. It is unquestionably, it generates huge amounts of energy. It generates more energy than the Stone Circles do. It is a giant toroidal field energy generating machine. And for many years, we are wondering why it was positioned there. Now, keep in mind that Adams Calendar is in line with the Great Zimbabwe in the north, further north, about 500 miles north, and then the Great Pyramid of Giza, even further up, right across at the northern tip of Africa. So you got this line, the 31-degree east longitudinal line, which is often called the Nilotic Meridian, and you got the Great Pyramid, you got Great Zimbabwe, and you got Adams Calendar all along the same line. This obviously is not by accident. This must have happened for a very specific reason. What we didn't realize until very recently is that the positioning of Adams Calendar was very, very highly strategic and important in the big scheme of things.
And some say that, Michael, it might be 75,000 years old. Do you think it could be that old?
Oh, well, that was what I originally thought it was. When I first started to research it with Johan in 2007 and 2008, those are the numbers that we're putting down because, you know, already 75,000 years in those days seemed very old. But we've now concluded it's a lot older than that. It's
oh my
God. 300,000 years old.
Wow.
It's around 300,000 years old. Now, go ahead, George.
Why do they call it Adams Calendar?
Well, that's just the name that I gave it. When I met Johan, Johan had discovered that site by accident about 4 years before he met me, and he was, once again, he was trying to bring it to the attention of all the universities, all the archaeologists and historians, and they just weren't interested. And then I met Johan, and everything changed. I then very quickly wrote a book about it, about the story of how he discovered it, and then started to research it and started to realize that there's so much more to the site than meets the eye. At that stage, it was just called the calendar. Then I started to realize that this has got profound connections to ancient civilizations in southern Africa, and most likely goes back to the very early times of the origins of humankind. And you know, at that stage, there was already decades of talk that southern Africa was the cradle of humankind, and that the first humans suddenly appear on Earth here, and then they moved out of Africa. The whole out of Africa theory, which I no longer believe, that's a whole nother debate. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a creation of a species here. There's no question about it. But it wasn't just here. The creation of species seemed to have happened all over the world at different times in history. But I called it Adams Calendar. That was my name that I gave it because okay. I realized it was most likely connected to the origins of humankind. And Adam, you know, remains the name we give the first humans. That's why it's called Adam.
Well, can you imagine if it's really that old, what this planet must have been like? I mean, they have miscalculated, the archaeologists on our planet have miscalculated ancient sites tremendously, haven't they?
No, completely. What I'd like to suggest to your listeners is that put aside everything you believe about human history, the visions and the images that we've been given by mainstream history, mainstream, you know, academia, the beautifully edited and sterilized versions of our history in the history books, and even some of the more even some of the more out of the box and weird and extraordinary ideas of human history and the history of the world. My conclusion especially after discovering the things in 2018 that I think we'll talk about next, hopefully, that the history of our world and the history of our species is so far removed from what we imagine it to be that it is probably a lot closer to the mythology that we've been taught, the mythology that we know about from ancient civilizations. All those stories are most likely a lot closer mm-hmm. to the real history of the world, the real events that took place, and the history of our species, the human race as well.
And then let's talk about these giants. Where do you think they fit into the equation here, biblically speaking?
Well, the giants are a big story. So obviously, all ancient cultures talk about the giants. The Bible talks about the giants. And once again, when we talk about giants, we need to specify that there's not just one giant. Like there's like 12 feet or 30 feet. There were a number of different size humanoids. And creatures as well, animals. We know about the dinosaurs, right? So some of the dinosaurs are really huge, very large. I think there were creatures that were even much larger than the dinosaurs that we can't even imagine. The dragons, the flying dragons, yeah, these are all real. You know, stop believing that this is some theoretical fantasy. These are all real things, real historical events, and this is why people spoke about it. This is why they spoke about it. They even wrote about it in some of the ancient texts. But the oral tradition, handed down oral tradition for thousands of years, is probably much closer to the truth. Well, not probably, is much closer to the truth than any of the modern history books, as I mentioned. But the giants, what we have here, and especially in my museum, I have evidence of giants that range from, and when I say evidence, I'm talking about petrified, fossilized body parts, right? And this is a big discovery that I made in January 2018 when I realized that many of the stones that I've been collecting for my museum, the Stone Circle Museum, please go into my website and check out the Stone Circle Museum. It will blow your mind. So what I realized is that we have different body parts of different creatures and also humanoids that range from about 12 feet to 15 feet to 30 feet. I'm just converting to meters. Let me say it in meters because 10 meters, 40 meters, 80 meters, 150 meters, 300 meters, and that's probably as big as we go, that we have evidence, fossilized body parts that are either in the museum or lying on the mountaintops and scattered around us among the Stone Circle ruins and in various sites near the giant footprint. You know, the giant footprint in South Africa that people will see on my website, that's one of the best examples of giants in human history. And how that footprint was made is a fantastic story. I've told that story many times, how you can leave a footprint in what is today granite. Because, like you said, George, what we think we know about our human history, what we think we know about geology, is so far removed from the truth that it boggles the mind. The geological formations around us are not necessarily formed the way that geologists or geology tells us. Everything is connected to electromagnetic fields and electricity and magnetism. And this is what I had to learn and study, and I guess I'm a bit of an expert in this now, the process of fossilization and petrification and metamorphosis, going from a piece of meat and a leg of a creature or a heart of a creature, and how that can turn to stone literally in the blink of an eye, what's often referred to as instant fossilization or instant petrification. And this is one of the greatest discoveries in the last 5 years, is realizing that how petrification can happen literally in the blink of an eye.
Interesting. Now, did you say 300 meters tall?
300 meters. It'll be 1,000 feet, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we have hearts and bones and leg bones and knuckles of giant bones that have been sawn off, that are lying all over the place. There's a very fascinating story. Now, I work with mainstream science and using really advanced technology for doing measurements and analysis and so forth. And obviously, having a medical background, I have a pretty good understanding of human anatomy and what the human body looks like, what the organs look like. So what they would look like inside your body or outside the body. So my medical background plays an important role in some of these discoveries. And what I find fascinating is when people from the medical profession come and visit me and they come to the Stone Circle Museum and they see these displays, the medical people are the first ones that always freak out because they can immediately see that this is a heart. That is a split heart. You can see the septum, the ventricles, the heart muscles, the coronal arteries and so forth. And the aorta coming out. So the medical profession people recognize it immediately. They see that it's a rib. They can see that this is a finger or a tooth and so forth. And it's just the people that don't have that background that are often more skeptical. And this is the bridge that we still need to cross somehow. And, well, we're crossing it quite quickly.
Where does the great flood of Noah fit into all of this, Michael?
It fits into smack bang right into the middle of it, because if it wasn't for a giant movement of water and a giant deposit of mud and the movement of mud because of a movement of water, this petrification and this fossilization would not have happened. So the giant flood, Noah's flood, the biblical flood, and many other floods that probably came over hundreds of thousands and millions of years are indicative of the, let's put it this way, the petrified body parts, the fossilized body parts are indicative of floods happening at different times. And I think that we've had more than one flood. There have been several floods, and we certainly find evidence of it here. Many years ago already, I found sea sand. We find sea sand everywhere here, sea sand and also sand, the remains of gold mining activity. So there's a two differences here. So you find gold mining sand, the remains of what we call mine dumps in South Africa. The whole city of Johannesburg is pretty much built on the remains of the yellow sand that remains after gold mine, the processing is done. They just dump the sand in piles and piles of this yellow sand. And so you see that all over the place, and very quickly, that's what you see all below Adam's calendar. That in giant Barberton crater, which has been thought to be a crater, is not a crater. It's neither a crater nor a volcano. It's actually an ancient giant gold mine that is filled with this leftover yellow sand from gold mining. And this is why Adam's calendar was placed right on the edge of it, so they could then beam off the gold to wherever the hell they were beaming it up, because Adam's calendar is a giant machine, a portal, a teleportation device or something. I jumped tracks there a little bit, but just this is why this is also important and it's all connected. So sometimes, some time ago, we found fossilized fish and sea sand in the stone circles on top of mountains. So we know that sand and water has moved across here. But it's only with the discovery of the fossils that are often referred to as mud fossils that it became evident that this movement of mud from something like the flood must have covered all these mountains at some stage. And then all these body parts of these creatures, whether it was the giants, whether it was, you know, humanoids and reptilians and whatever, this is what are we finding now, because that mud trapped all those bones and body parts and so forth in the mud. And then all it needs is electricity, and that comes in the form of lightning. You know, one lightning strike just puts so much electricity into the ground, it just turns all that stuff into stone that's trapped in the mud.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.